Good morning and welcome to Shattering This, a program that is devoted to the largest segment of society, to those of you who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, even counterproductive. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, is toll free, 877-300-7645. I read this article with interest, and it's sort of perverse in a way that I'm going to tell you this story. It's about a statue to Bahomet, which is supposed to be Satan. There is no name associated with Satan that is Bahomet, but there's some interesting history as to how the Knights Templar came up with that name and why the name is used today. And it's also interesting as to who protested this unveiling of this statue. You know, personally, I don't have an issue with it. I don't care if you create a statue to Bahomet, to Scott, to Craig, to Kirk, to Larry, to your Jesus Christ, and have Christ the Redeemer standing 300 feet tall over Rio de Janeiro, or inscribed in a obelisk outside of the Vatican. Don't care what you do. Don't care who you worship. Don't care who you call God. Don't care. My only issue with religion is when it's promoted as true and when it lures other people. But for those who are already part of the melee, other than to isolate them when they're up to no good, like Islamic jihadists, I see everything that they do is their choice and part of free will, something that Yahweh established. Here's the story. It says a crowd of several hundred gathered Saturday night to see Detroit's. Now, it's interesting that this would be in Detroit. I mean, if there ever was a city of death in America, it's Detroit. It's a city that political correctness, that liberal politics, that unions collectively destroyed. It was a city based upon the fact that the only politicians elected because of the enormous influence of the United Auto Workers there were entitlement socialist politicians. Everything was about robbing the most productive and rewarding the least productive, creating a socialist climate there that was unsustainable, that made it impossible to successfully run a business out of Detroit and to build anything in Detroit, which is why Detroit now is a ghost town. It's so bad that rather than trying to rehab homes and to give them away free to anybody that will just take care of it, they're just bulldozing homes down and that hundreds, if not thousands, of buildings are decaying and empty. It is a city that was devoted to the enlightened socialist humanist, and it now is nothing but a rotting, decayed mass. So this is Detroit's newest residence, a 9-foot, 2,000-pound statue of a goat-headed occult idol named Bahomet. The Satanic Temple unveiled the bronze figure to an estimated 700 attendees. You know, imagine the world is so politically correct, so unjudgmental, so undiscerning, that 700 people in a ghost town of a city would come as an attendee, as someone, a devotee, to a statue that is being portrayed as satanic. Isn't that fascinating that there aren't enough people to understand the Hebrew word satan, which means adversary? and to figure out why it isn't good to be the adversary and not to take the time to learn about the adversary's fall, what caused the adversary to fall, what the adversary wanted to achieve, which was to be worshipped as God, and the tools of deceit that are associated with the adversary and the adversary's ultimate fate, as brought to us by Yahweh and the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. And yet, this 2,000-pound statue found 700 attendees. The group's initial venue was canceled after Christian groups protested. Not this just says religious groups, but the groups that protested were Christian groups. And what I find is so enlightening about that is that the Christian God and this statue represent the same individual. The Christian Lord is Satan. The Christian Jesus Christ is modeled after Dionysus, one of Satan's most alluring false gods. The Christian religion is a mirror of the Babylonian religion, the religion Yahweh associates with Satan, the whore of Babylon. And so the protesters were the very people who, for the longest time, have worshipped Satan in the guise of their Jesus Christ, Satan in the guise of their Lord, Satan in the guise of their reincarnation of the Babylonian religion, replete with Easter and Christmas and fathers and priests and tithes and Sunday worship. And a trinity, of course. And they protested, not recognizing that that idol represents the idol that they have turned into God. The group's approach to secrecy with the second venue led to little opposition on Saturday. The director of Detroit's Satanic Temple chapter and national spokeswoman, Jex Blackmore, told Fox News. Quote, protesters arrived for a short time at our first ticketing location, but retreated after about 30 minutes, Blackmore said. One woman attempted to block the event entrance and was removed by police in cooperation with the building's owner. Why would you do that? I mean, where in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms does Yahweh say, you ought to preclude free will? Where it says, where does it say that you ought to keep the Gentiles from being Gentiles? You ought to avoid allowing, you ought to disallow the Gentiles to engage in their Babylonian religion. Where does it say that? I must have missed it, because what I read is, don't emulate them. Don't do what they do. Don't be like Christians who have integrated and assimilated the Babylonian religion into their own. Don't do that. But it speaks to what we ourselves should choose and choose to avoid, not what we try to preclude others from doing. What's the purpose of free will if somebody can't make bad choices? Let them make whatever choice. You're not serving God by trying to preclude the choices of others. You can serve Yahweh if you know him, if you are a member of the covenant, if you are enlightened by his Torah teaching, and then if you choose to educate yourself about false religions and political schemes and the like, and you expose them and condemn them using words. But even in that, you ought not go to the point where you're trying to tell people how they should behave. It's their choice. Just provide the information. Well, guests were washed in red light, of course, shining down from the rafters at the venue as dark punk bands played and DJs performed from a stage located beneath a lighted upside-down crucifix. Isn't it interesting? Crucifix. And why would they need one upside down? And it's as if, okay, we're trying to create an alternative to Christianity. So why don't we just take their image and turn it upside down? But the fact of the matter is the Christian cross is a satanic symbol. It's always been a satanic symbol. It was the symbol of Tammuz, the son of the sun in the Babylonian religion, the model upon which Osiris and Dionysus and Bacchus, and then later the Jesus of Christianity, would be based. So you don't need to turn it upside down to have it be a satanic symbol. It's a satanic symbol no matter which orientation you find it. The Satanic Temple officials delivered speeches, and a pair of shirtless men held candles on either side of the statue prior to its unveiling. Despite the dark pageantry, however, the temple says that its concept of Lucifer is as a literary figure. There is no basis whatsoever for Lucifer. Well, just as there is no basis for Bahomet, although we're going to consider that name in a moment. Both Lucifer and Bahomet are from the Latin. They're from the Latin because of the enormous influence then and today of the Empire of Rome that turned into the Roman Catholic Church. And so both names are Latin names. Hasatan, the adversary, and his title and name Baal. His personal and proper name, which is Halal ben Shakar, that there is absolutely no Latin association with this character that has a Hebrew name, that has two Hebrew titles. So it's amazing that Roman Catholics and before them Imperial Rome would be so egotistical so as to ascribe Latin names to a character that is known to us only through the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, at least by the title that they are drawn to him, which is Satan, as well as the corruption, Lucifer. Goodness gracious. Well, anyway, despite the pageantry, however, the temple says that its concept of Lucifer. Now, Bahomet is a Latin word. We're going to examine it in a moment. Lucifer is also a Latin word. It's the same kind of arrogance that's demonstrated in Lucifer. And if you look at any of your English translations, where in each of the two places where in Yeshaya, where Yahweh provides a more descriptive name to the adversary, because he introduces him as Baal the Lord, calls him Hasatan, the adversary in Hebrew, the one who is opposed. But in Yeshaya, Yahweh specifically associates the adversary with Babylon. And then in addition to Babylon, which is Yahweh describes as the source of confusion, the source of religion, the source of politics, the source of militarism, the source of things that are anti-Yehudim and Yisrael. All of those things, everything that's opposed to God is opposed to God is Babylon, including the adversary. And of course, that's why Abraham came from Babylon and was asked to walk away from Babylon before he could engage in a relationship with Yahweh. It serves as an instruction, as a condition, and as a symbol to all of us. But nonetheless, the arrogance of the Roman Catholic Church, wanting all things to be Latinized, changed Halal ben Shakar, and it's one place it's Halal, the other place it's Hillel ben Shakar, to Lucifer. Lucifer means light bearer. And Halal ben Shakar is the arrogant one who radiates light, who is the son of the sun. Ben Shakar is son of the rising sun. And so all of the gods, pagan gods, that were the most popular were sons of the sun. Tammuz, who was also called Ninus, the sun, initially, was allegedly born when the rays of the sun, the chief god, the father of the gods, impregnated Mother Earth on the vernal equinox, the Sunday closest to the vernal equinox, where the sun is in the constellation of Taurus the Bull, today's Christian celebration of Easter, when Mother Earth is impregnated so that she can give birth to the son of the sun 9 months later on the winter solstice, where the days finally start growing longer. The shortest day of the year. And that, of course, is the Christian Christmas. So this idea of the son of the sun is the concept that Yahweh is conveying, because it is was the basis of the Babylonian religion. The Babylonian religion began when Nimrod, who was a violently opposed to Yahweh, died in a battle with a wild boar, which is why the Easter ham is popular, suffered for 40 days, which is why Lent is 40 days at that same time. Why there's also weeping for Tammuz, because Ninus was renamed Tammuz as the son of the sun in the Babylonian religion. And Semiramis, which was the wife of Ninus, claimed that she had been impregnated with the sun's rays on Easter Sunday, so that she would give birth 9 months later to the son of the sun, which is Ben Shakar in Hebrew. And that because she gave birth to the son of the sun on Christmas, on the winter solstice, December 25th, she then had to be the mother of God and the queen of heaven, which is then the basis of the Roman Catholic and Orthodox Catholic Mary, mother of God, queen of heaven, and someone to venerate and to bow down in worship to. So you can see all of these intertwined messages that Yahweh was conveying to us when he named Halal ben Shakar that name, and that he would be the Lord because he wanted to be worshipped, because he wanted to control, because he wanted to possess. So all of those aspects are rolled into the name Halal ben Shakar, which was simply changed, you know, copy edited by the Roman Catholic Church to Lucifer, an error which Protestant denominations have never corrected. So this then goes on to say that Lucifer is a literary figure. Well, Lucifer is only known through the Roman Catholic Church corruption of Yahweh's testimony in the through the prophet Yashaya Isaiah. And so he's a literary figure. He is a figure out of that story, and therefore Satan. We'll talk about what the mission of the Satanic Temple is in a moment. So they claim that the mission of the Satanic Temple is to encourage benevolence and empathy among all people, the group's website states. So, Hasatan, the adversary. Do you think the adversary's intention is benevolence and empathy? Look at the most overtly satanic religions. Islam, for example. Mahomet is named after Muhammad. Do you think that that in Islam there's a lot of benevolence and empathy? Or do you think that the Prince of Lies is lying for the purpose of creating a myth about the religion that enables people who are poorly informed to advocate on the religion's behalf, just like imams and those who side with them tell us that Islam is a religion of peace and jihad is a spiritual struggle. All lies. And so, is it uncommon for a religion to present their goals that and their state goals that are the antithesis of what they're all about? Certainly. So the statue is now stored out of public view until the temple can find it a permanent home. The group hopes to display it at the Arkansas State Capitol next, to a monument of the Ten Commandments. Great, another relic of Christianity, because God does not have Ten Commandments, and there isn't a Christian institution on the planet that has translated them even remotely accurate. Now, Bahomet, let's focus on that for a while. Bahomet is from medieval Latin. It's Bahomet or Bahometi. It is a term that was originally used to describe an idol or other deity that the Knights Templar were accused of worshiping, that was subsequently incorporated into a variety of occult and mystical traditions. Bahomet is now used fairly regularly among conspiratorial types in association with the Illuminati, and it is also used in association with Freemasonry. Its origins were definitely the Knights Templar, but we'll explore that more in a moment. It appeared as a term for a pagan idol in trial transcripts of the Inquisition of the Knights Templar in the 4th century. The Inquisition, of course, was the Roman Catholic process of not just condemning anyone who they sought to control, but to eliminate anyone that they viewed as a potential threat. So the Inquisition was, if you did not surrender, did not submit, did not subjugate yourselves to Roman Catholicism, you were tortured, you were killed, your family was enslaved, all of your possessions were stolen. That was the nature of the Inquisition, and of course the Knights Templar were working on behalf of the Pope, but ultimately the Pope became leery of them. And so there was an inquisition into them. Do not read into the word inquire, inquisition, and to think that there was anyone trying to inquire to what they were about, or that there was any pretense of a trial. This is religion run amok as it relates to the Inquisition. So this goes on to read that the name in the English usage began in the 19th century, or 500 years later, with the debate and speculations on reasons for the suppression of the Templars. Now, I'm here to tell you, the Knights Templars were not suppressed because their behavior was any different than mainstream Roman Catholicism. They weren't suppressed because they weren't vicious enough or effective enough for the Roman Catholic Church. They were suppressed for one reason, and it had nothing to do with them being any greedier than the popes and cardinals in the Vatican. They were suppressed for one reason, and that is that the Pope viewed them as a potential threat, that the Pope had used them, and their use became less viable, and they, as is the case with any militant group, when you try to retire a militant group, they don't go quietly into the night. The problem with bringing American vets back from the killing fields of Afghanistan and Iraq, they don't come back whole. They don't just fit now as square pegs into round holes. And so they were hunted down and killed because their loyalties to the church and to the devotion to their cause were such that their oaths and you know, hoorahs, their semper fis, were not such that they could just go quietly into the night. And that's why they were hunted down and killed. Since 1856, the name Bahomet has been associated with a Sabbatic goat, an image drawn by Eliphas Levi, which contains binary elements representing the sum total of the universe. In other words, male and female, good and evil. The chronicler of the First Crusade, Raymond Gellers, called the moss Baphomaries. So Baphomaries. So the name Baphomet later appeared in the 1195 poem, the Sin Hors Por Los Nostres Pectas, which was by the troubadour of Gavadan, around 1250, a poem bewailing the defeat of the Seventh Crusade refers to Bahomet, and it's the title of one of the books chronicling all of this. Now, when I mention the word mosque being called Baphomaries, you're probably seeing the connection. Bahomet was modeled after Muhammad. And for those that say, well, it's not fair. How could you name Satan after the prophet of the Islamic religion? What an awful thing to do. Well, because Muhammad himself claimed to be demon-possessed. Because Muhammad was perverse. Because Muhammad was in every way a representative of Satan. Because Muhammad's God, Allah, is modeled after Satan. And so every aspect of Islam, including its jihad death squads, its use of terrorism, its corruption of the Torah prophets and Psalms and the characters that play significant roles in the Torah prophets and Psalms, everything about Islam represents the modus operandi of HaSatan, of Satan, as did Muhammad, you know, a pedophile, a rapist, a deceiver, a vicious terrorist. And so it was appropriate to name the satanic figure after the man who conceived the God, Quran, and religion of Islam. This reads on, when the medieval order of the Knights Templar was suppressed by King Philip IV of France over Friday, October 13th, 1307, Philip had many French Templars simultaneously arrested and then tortured into confessions. Oh, the Roman Catholic Church and the kings that it empowered were revolting individuals. Absolutely disgusting. Both the torturers, those who encouraged the torture, and those that they tortured. Over 100 different charges had been leveled against the Templars. Most of them were dubious, as they were the same charges that were leveled against the Cathars and many of King Philip's enemies. In other words, they were a one-trick pony. We've got the same group of false accusations, and the thing that we're going to have in common with all of our foes is we're going to use that same group of accusations against all of them, even though they have nothing in common, proving that the real source of these horrible things is we ourselves. What do you think, Glenn? Are you a Bahomet adversary?
Well, actually, there's an S sound in there. It's a PH, like phone, so it's Baphomet.
Okay.
Baphomet, yeah. If you look at I imagine I haven't seen this thing you're talking about, but I'm assuming it has the cryptic hand signs in there, too.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, you've got to be an insider, you know. It's like the Freemasonry movement. You've got to have all of your inside handshakes and inside signals and inside code to communicate one thing to the initiate and another thing to the upper level participants.
Right.
Yeah,
exoteric and the esoteric and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting? This like they seem to be putting a lot of these like sociocultural controversy things in the news as distractions. Like at the moment, whether it's the symbology of a Civil War flag or the symbology of a statue being unveiled.
Right.
These are all designed to foment ire and keep people distracted. I'm looking at the market this morning. I see the Shanghai market down 8.5%, the Hong Kong down 3%, the French and German down 2.5%, the British down 1.25%, and the Dow wrestling back and forth with the help of the president's working group on the money and markets, you know.
Yeah.
And that plus I'm looking at the earthquake activity in the Pacific Rim and the Ring of Fire and stuff like that. I'm thinking, man, when markets start shaking and rattling and tectonic plates are shaking around, when all this distraction stuff's going to fall by the wayside very quickly.
Yes, it is.
You know?
Yeah, but I think you are right. I looked at the outline of the rebel flag as a symbolic gesture for the purpose of distraction, but also as a way of recasting history. There's this myth that the North was freedom loving and was American and apple pie, and that the South was a bunch of scummy rich landowners that enslaved people, and that had to be put in its place and had no right whatsoever to secede from the Union. And Lincoln as the great emancipator. It's just a pile of lies.
Yep.
Philip IV of France was a pretty swell guy. He not only accused everybody of the same crime, most of his claims were dubious, and that the charges were leveled at all of his enemies, the same charges. He had previously kidnapped Pope Boniface the VIII and charged him with an identical set of offenses, of heresy, of spitting and urinating on a cross, and of sodomy, the exact same charges, none of which were true. And popes were scumbags, and so were the Knights Templar, but none of these charges were true. But it's interesting that that King Philip of France was empowered by the Roman Catholic Church and Pope Boniface, and the fact is that Roman Catholicism was the only legal and allowed acceptable religion in France because of that deal. To have them, you know, these two power-hungry thugs go after each other and torture everyone and accuse people of things like sodomy and of urinating on crosses. Doesn't it tell you that perhaps that's the various issues that old Philip had, that the problem was Philip?
He was supposed to be a fair guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he was. Yeah, a fair, and because he was appointed by God, and all rulers are appointed by God for you to submit to them for your benefit. Even those who torture others and accuse them of the things that they themselves have done.
I always sort of bought into the notion that the Knights Templar were, you know, a threat because of their banking prowess and their accumulated wealth and stuff like that.
Their
military exploits and stuff.
Yeah, they were considered. They became, even though they shared a disproportionate amount of the of their captured wealth. I mean, they didn't produce anything. They didn't run a business. They confiscated other people's property. Thievery, you know, runs rampant in Roman Catholicism. And so
they were central bankers.
Oh yeah, they were central bankers because they were working for the Pope, and they were giving a disproportionate amount of their stolen property to the Pope. But even the part that they kept, eventually amounted to a great deal, and with money you can buy influence. And of course, they were a vicious military organization, ruthless, and so both the from a wealth point of view, a power point of view, and a military point of view, they were viewed as a threat by a man who was paranoid. I mean, King Philip of France was paranoid. Most paranoid people, by the way, are paranoid for a reason. You know, they think everyone's out to get them. And typically it's because they have deep, dark secrets. They have demons lurking in their closets, and they don't want them exposed.
Right. What's your take on the Friday the 13th thing, superstition correlating to the killing of Jacques de Molay? Or do you think it goes further back?
Yeah, I don't know the origins of Friday the 13th, but of course it's Trisodacophobia is part of all of the numerology myths. You know, there's so many numerology myths. It's just one of many of them.
Yeah, it's just crazy. Yeah,
it has no merit.
I always describe the significance of 13 as ultimately having to do with the sun and the 12 houses of the zodiac, the 12 moons. Yeah. 12 moons, and plus the sun is 13. You know. So.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I guess so. So the 12 signs of the zodiac plus the sun equals the 13. Okay. Yeah, that would the father of the gods and all the little gods and goddesses of the zodiac that could make perfect sense. In other words, the son of the sun trying to be the above all of the gods.
Yeah. And if you start chasing, numerology, it'll just drive you bonkers because it's just people ascribing significance to these numbers anyway. You know, there's nothing inherently significant about these things. It's humans who imbue or ascribe. I mean, you can spend her life chasing down numerology and it's easier to ignore it.
all of it, along with astronomy and astrology and the like. It's interesting here, I'm reading, there's a Malcolm Berber observes that historians find it difficult to accept that an affair of such enormity rests upon a total fabrication, and yet the Chinon parchment suggests that the Templars did indeed spit on the cross. Oh my, says Sean Martin, and that these acts were intended to simulate the kind of humiliation and torture that a crusader might be subjected to if he were captured.